Are you trying to find the sports fan in your life the perfect holiday gift? Why not think about tickets to the 8th annual Evening with the Cardinals coming up on January 11th at St. Louis Union Station Grand Ballroom. This year it features Ted Simmons and Ozzie Smith. Dinner, auction, private photo session with the two legends, and hear them reminisce about their careers. Get your tickets at thenccs.org. That's thenccs.org. It's an Evening with the Cardinals, January 11th. TheNCCS.org.
Hi, I'm Ryan Kelly with TheHomeLoanExpert.com. The only thing I like better than baseball is saving people money. Start saving now with a cash-out refinance at TheHomeLoanExpert.com. Enjoy the podcast.
Welcome into Scoops with DannyMac.com and my podcast with Derek Gould of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Derek out at the winter meetings in San Diego. It is officially the first full day of the winter meetings, but there was some news last night concerning Cardinal fans and concerning the Hall of Fame. Ted Simmons goes into the Hall of Fame. Now, a couple of weeks ago, I had a visit with Ted about his life in the game. And one of the questions I did ask him was, what would happen if he did make it to the Hall of Fame? It's a remarkable answer.
The Hall of Fame would be a wonderful thing to culminate my life in baseball with. There's no getting around it. I'd be really, really pleased if that happened. But as I said a moment ago, I've seen so much and gained so much from this industry, okay? If in fact, okay, I didn't end up in the Major League Baseball's Cooperstown Hall of Fame, if that didn't happen to me, if I went about the rest of my life lamenting or grieving the idea that it didn't happen for me, I'd be ashamed, because so much good has happened to me. So that if someone were to ask me, you know, what's your feeling about this whole business, all of it, I say, I feel lucky to have just been able to play. And that's not false humility. People who get to play this game and be in this industry for a long time see how wonderful it is. It's like living in Disneyland every day of your life. I've been that lucky. From a little boy, I wanted this. If I end up in the Hall of Fame, that'd be the greatest. I wanted that too. But good God, I've gotten so much. I'd be ashamed if I walked around, even for one moment, disgusted or unhappy that I didn't get it, you know, inducted into the Cooperstown Hall of Fame. I'd be a fool, I'd look ridiculous, and I'd be ashamed.
I would encourage you to go back, look through the archives on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com and listen to that interview with Ted Simmons, from being traded by Whitey Herzog to the Milwaukee Brewers to 50 years in baseball as a GM, a scout, a player, catching Bob Gibson. It's all in there with Ted Simmons. We're coming to you in brilliant clarity thanks to Lordo's Diamonds, and this is the holiday season. Men's or women's jewelry in the heart of Ladue, that's where they're located, Lordo's Diamonds, or order online wherever you may be listening. Mention my name or ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. Get additional money off, and it is the best jewelry in town. LordosDiamonds.com. LordosDiamonds.com. Coming up with Derek Gould, we'll talk about what's happening with the St. Louis Cardinals, their interest in Madison Bumgarner. Could they be packaging some outfielders to make deals? The pending labor agreement, how that affects what's happening with Major League Baseball. We'll talk about Ted Simmons. That'll be our first topic. And all that and more is coming up on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. More features keep rolling out on the Schnucks Rewards app, all designed to simplify shopping. Your rewards points still continue to pile up, earning you money off your next purchase. But now you can create customizable and shareable shopping lists. Shop for your family's dietary needs with the new wellness icons. Gluten-free, organic, heart smart, it's all covered. So this week, simplify shopping. Try the new features on the Schnucks Rewards app. Shopping will never be the same. Schnucks Rewards. Download it today. Hair Saloon for Men, proud sponsor of ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. Home base in St. Louis, founded in 1997. 16 locations. You'll receive the perfect haircut, complimentary beverage, relaxing shampoo, hot towel and a mint, complimentary shoe shine, all for just $22. And for an extra $5, get a stress-relieving scalp massage. Hair Saloon for Men, 16 locations. There's one near you. Hair Saloon for Men. Well, as you heard there with Ted Simmons, he does not have to wait any longer. So his humble look at trying to get into the Hall of Fame, it's over. He is in. We go to San Diego on this Monday and visit day one of the winter meetings with Derek Gould of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. And Derek, let's start with the big news concerning Cardinal fans, really concerning the game right now. And that is Ted Simmons, along with Marvin Miller, getting into baseball's Hall of Fame. To me, it's long overdue. I've been a huge supporter of his. I talk about it a lot on the air. Had an interview with him in the last couple of weeks that was, I thought, revealing in many ways. But yeah. It was great news to see that he finally gets into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I agree. I think in both regards, you know, Marvin Miller and Ted Simmons, both of them, I think we all agree, were deserving many years before it happened. Simmons was always a bit of a riddle for me. I you know, this goes back maybe 5, 6, 7, maybe even 10 years, but I remember writing a story about how, like, look, he was the second best catcher of his era, and he happened to be second best to the best catcher of all time, Johnny Bench. That's no small thing. Being second best to one of the best ever means you're still elite and means you're still a Hall of Famer, means you're still belong in that same company. And I was always struck by that. You know, you could say the same thing about Alan Trammell, right? Alan Trammell was the shortstop in the American League at the same time Cal Ripken was, or Rock Raines. Tim Rock Raines was one of the superb elite leadoff hitters at a time when Ricky Henderson was a leadoff hitter. And Ricky Henderson happens to be maybe one of the best five players of all time. So, you know, these guys who were great in their own right and just happened to share a same era with one of the greatest of all times, they always got kind of suppressed on the ballot. And that always concerned me a little bit. Well, then Raines gets in, Trammell gets in, and now Simmons gets in. And I'll tell you this, Dan, I think it also paves a way for Jim Edmonds to eventually get consideration. Jim Edmonds happened to be on the same ballot as Ken Griffey Jr. Again, one of the best all-around players, certainly of his generation, and at the same position. And Edmonds did not last long on the Hall of Fame ballot, just like Simmons. And while that was always kind of held against Simmons, I always felt that was odd. Like, here was a chance for former players and some historians to say, hey, writers, you got it wrong. We're going to put Simmons in. And finally they did, decades after it should have happened. But I think it paves the way for an understanding of where Edmonds was, why maybe the votes weren't there for him the first time around, simply because he was going to be compared to Ken Griffey Jr. And few players, if any players, are going to survive that comparison.
Yeah, I agree. I want to talk about the writers, and then we'll get into what's happening at the winter meetings. And as it pertains to Larry Walker, and I know that you are heavily involved. At one point, you were the president of the Baseball Writers Association of America. You're heavily involved with that. So I know you talk to your colleagues. What's your gut feeling on Larry Walker this year?
Yeah, I think I'm encouraged with Larry Walker. I'm encouraged. I don't yet have a feel, because 75 is so hard to get. But we see momentum building. I also think so many ballots have been freed up this year. There's you know, last year's class with Messina going in, you know, obviously Rivera went in with 100%. But you're starting to see some clearing of the traffic, either because you don't have the newcomers coming on, which is also true this year, but also you see some of the deserving guys already in, already building up some of the larger classes here over the last few years. So the ballot has given room to breathe, and I think that's a positive sign for Larry Walker. It's his last chance, and as we saw with Raines, that does give a boost. I think it's on everybody's mind that if they don't do it, then they're putting it in the hands of the committees to put him in, and that's not what the writers want.
This is a fascinating winter meetings in many respects. One, you have the cheating scandal, or the video scandal, if you will, of the Astros. You've got Scott Boras controlling the main free agents, the big ones I'm talking about, that are out there. Mm-hmm. From the Cardinals' perspective, what they might do. So let's start with the Houston stuff. What are you hearing in terms, because that's going to be front and center with a lot of the writers and what people are talking about, and things happen to leak when you're at the winter meetings. Much media there, and so many of the main people of Major League Baseball are there, so things come out. What do you think is going to happen this week with that?
Well, we know that the commissioner wanted a swift and complete investigation and all indications are from people who have quietly revealed that they've been talked to or at least been approached, is that has been ongoing. I almost said accelerated, but I don't think that's the right word, except for that, you know, it's clearly active, and that they wanted resolution. I don't know whether they wanted resolution. They weren't clear resolution by winter meeting. They do want resolution before the start of next season. We can learn from the timetable that the Major League Baseball had with the Cardinals and the hacking scandal. That happened in January was when they had resolution. December was an investigative month. And then early January was a contemplative and a review period. And then penalty came down swift and hard with finality. I think they definitely, everything I've been told, they want to do the same thing here, where they want to come with a decision and a penalty that is final. They don't want – one of the things that that is always in baseball's ear is what we've seen with the NFL, where they come with swift punishment, sometimes lukewarm punishment, sometimes lacking punishment, and then new evidence arrives, and they have to rethink their punishment. Baseball wants to come down once and be done with it and make sure that they covered all the gambit. So you're going to see, you know, we know that the investigation process has been going on. We know that it's been far-reaching. We don't yet know all the people who have, complied or participated, but we do know that, you know, that baseball is in the process of trying to overturn every stone so that there's not a surprise at the end of it.
A reminder that Blues hockey is available at Hot Shot Sports Bar and Grill, one of the 10 area Hot Shot Sports Bar and Grill locations. Your home for Blues hockey. $1 tacos any day after the Blues score 5 goals. And during games, they have all kinds of Blues appetizers and samplers and drink specials. It is the place to go to watch Blues hockey. Hot Shots is a proud partner of the Blues and home to Blues fans since 1990. Scott Boras, this is kind of his time of year, isn't it, Derek?
Yeah, this is his... He's the MVP of December.
And he's got a lot of the big
and
fish.
And January.
He's got a lot of the big fish this year, doesn't he?
More so than maybe ever before. In fact, you know, it's hard to find in baseball history a class this talented all represented by the same person. I'm not sure you could find it in the free agent era.
What do you think he'll do with these guys in terms of Rendon, Strasburg, Cole, as it pertains – to the last couple of years where the winter meetings were so quiet, but yet he's got three of the really big fish that are out there?
I think the Yankees' interest in Cole is going to accelerate things. We have seen, you go back 11 years to Vegas, the first time the winter meetings were there in Vegas, and the Yankees were in play for CC Sabathia and how aggressive they were, even leaving the meetings to go visit with Sabathia, to talk to him in person, to meet with him, to address his concerns about moving to the big city. I think, you know, the Yankees like to move big and move fast when they do move big. And I think they are going to be pressing the accelerator on this quite a bit. Once they know that Cole is open to coming to the Yankees, they have long been interested in him, as you know. I mean, they drafted him. They've tried to trade for him a few times. Now they have a chance to sign him. Now they have the money to do so. And they, you know, you could argue that they have the need. They have the opening for the pitching to do so, in part because, you know, Sabathia aged out and moved on. So I think, you know, that has been the push here that has created some movement, some velocity for a discussion with Cole. And the other teams are dragged along in, they're kind of drafting off the Yankees' push. Now, when we have a sense of where Cole goes, then Boras has a very good feel for where Strasburg fits too. You know, I mean, he's going to know the teams that didn't get the starting pitcher they wanted. Well, here he is with the other starting pitcher available. He has played that placement game, and that's his right, and his clients are cool with it. So he can help create a market for one by knowing the market for another. Rendon, I think we know the parties that are in play. And you might just see a staring contest here for a bit on him.
What do you think the Cardinals may do? Where is their marketplace right now?
Not get into that staring contest.
Yeah. I you hear about Bumgarner. At least that's been reported.
Yeah.
I don't know how much I believe it. But I think, I don't know if you agree with this, if I'm the Cardinals and Marcell Ozuna is not coming back and I'm rolling the dice with what I currently have whether that's Dylan Carlson or some of the others, run prevention could be the way to go. Hope you get some offense and load up on pitching, and they've got pitching. What do you think about that potential way that they go in this winter meetings?
I am wholeheartedly behind that. I think that's the way to win at Busch. I think we've seen that over and over again through the years. As you know, I've tried to write that, you know, that's the style of baseball that wins there. The Brandon Moss slug group, even when the Cardinals went out and led the National League in runs back in 2013, you know, and they won the pennant and they got on there, you still look at that pitching staff and you go, well, that's pretty good, especially when you talked about the firepower coming out of the bullpen and the youth that arrived and then Michael Wacha toward the end. So, you know, we have run prevention is a style of baseball. It's 2015, they won 100 games by playing a run prevention style. This past year, they had Loctite defense. They had superb starting pitching. They had an excellent and versatile bullpen, and they won the division. I think that's the recipe for them to succeed. Now, they have to find ways to improve offensively. Sure, some of that has to come with Matt Carpenter. There's no other way around that. Some of that has to come from Paul Goldschmidt. And if they're going to improve as a group, they have to find a way to do so from the outfield. If that outfield lags, if the outfield is as unproductive as it was last year at times, then they're going to struggle to score runs. There's no way around it. But their strength has to be the prevention of runs. And this market is too deep and too available for them to ignore pitching. Bumgarner is one. Keuchel is one. Wade Miley is another. There are starting pitching here that can be had at any price. Look at the deals that have already been done. I mean, they've all been done at different lengths, which is remarkable. You got Jordan Lyles, who got a 2-year deal, $18 million, a year after he was lost, you know, and then had a bit of a rebound with the Brewers as they made a charge late. He was helpful for them. But I think there's so much, and the Cardinals are seeing this too, there's just so much opportunity pitching-wise that they cannot ignore it.
Do you think they're actually interested, or is that legitimate with Madison Bumgarner?
They are interested. I'm not sure that he's going to fall to not. I don't know if fall is the right word. I don't know if he's going to be agreeable to where they want to offer him. I mean, he might get a longer term deal, which is something that they like to avoid, which brings Keuchel into the picture.
Keuchel to me is very, very interesting. And and all of a sudden, if you would add a starting pitcher, what do you think that does with Carlos Martinez?
I think it still gives him the opportunity to make his way into the rotation, but it gives the Cardinals an alternative. They are looking for a guy who they know can provide innings, because they figure at some point in time they're going to need to cover those innings, whether it's because Carlos isn't in the rotation or because the workload is a lot in a second year for Dakota Hudson, because Jack Flaherty's coming off career highs across the board. They want to have some insurance in innings-wise to cover.
Interesting, Derek, I was doing some numbers. Of the top 12 teams in OPS against right-handed pitching, 8 made the playoffs. The Cardinals were in the bottom third of that that particular category. So it tells you got to be good against right-handed pitching. Do you think that opens the door more so for a switch hitter like Dylan Carlson, or maybe do they go out and look outside the organization? Does Justin Williams get more of a look, a left-handed bat in the Tommy Pham deal? How do you think that plays out?
Yeah, it's an interesting thing. I think, you know, across the board, the Cardinals were bottom third in offense, and, you know, they were the worst offense of the 10 playoff teams. And one of the reasons why is because, you know, exactly as you described there, I mean, they do need some left-handed deterrent or some left-handed damage. That goes back to Carpenter having to provide it. That's what he's paid for. That's what they count on him. That position that he's going to play cannot be a net even offensively. It's got to be thunder, or at least, you know, high on base percentage, one of the better OPSs on the team. But I think it does create the idea that Dylan Carlson may open in AAA and then arrive midseason and stick around. I think, you know, that more and more it does seem like they're open to that. Now, he could have a gangbuster spring, but one of the things that I've been told is he could go out and have a great spring, but he has to leap over other guys who could have good springs and win a spot. Does that make sense?
Absolutely, yeah.
Like, other guys have to falter for Dylan to be there on opening day. If they do, then they do. If they don't, then, you know, then he's got some time. But they expect him to, you know, be with the 2020 team. They expect him to make an impact. I still wouldn't close out, and we'll see how these meetings go, Dan. I still wouldn't close out the fact that they're so right-handed in the outfield, and there are a few teams that are looking for right-handed hitting outfielders, that they might be able to package to get an answer still. We'll see. It's hard. You know, but you look at Texas, right? Very left-handed in the outfield. More left-handed hitters than they have spots in the outfield. You look at the Cardinals, very right-handed in the outfield. More right-handed hitters than they have spots in the outfield. Could there be a conversation there? I don't know. I know that they've made their rounds with teams. I know that they've reached out to those teams that have a surplus outfielder who would be an everyday player for them. But whether or not they can pull off a deal, or whether that is an entertaining conversation with the Cardinals, I don't know. But I do know that that's on their mind. Can they package two outfielders in a deal, or can they put one outfielder in a deal and then a pitching prospect to get an answer so that they go in with some certainty at one position?
It's all aboard the newest restaurant in St. Louis, the Train Shed at Union Station. Historic space overlooking the St. Louis Wheel and Lakeside Fire Show. Before or after a Blues game, it is the place to be now. Train Shed at St. Louis Union Station. So if you're heading down to a Blues game before or after, enjoy upscale and approachable pub fare and cocktails in a beautiful space. Overlooks Union Station Lake. Nightly fire and music show. It is the place to be before and after Blues games if you're heading down there. The Train Shed at Union Station. General sense, and we'll wrap it up with a couple questions here. Do you think that this will be an aggressive market for the Cardinals, generally speaking, and will be more aggressive for Major League Baseball this week, generally speaking?
I don't particularly. I mean, I think the Cardinals are aware that the market is, well, I know they are. They're aware that the market is moving on pitchers, and they don't want it to go by without them at least having a, dropping a line in it. The current is moving. They're aware. I don't know if I would particularly call them aggressive, but they certainly need to be assertive if they see the guy or two guys that they want start coming off the board. I do think we're going to see more action for Major League Baseball. Yeah, I think that one of the reasons why is the Pinstripes are involved with Cole, and I think we're getting a sense, and I do know that Major League Baseball, from a commissioner's office point of view, whether it was the commissioner's office, I don't know, but I do know that Major League Baseball has been urging all parties to do more here at the winter meeting, do something, you know, generate some kind of action.
And on top of that, final question, are people talking about a pending labor strife? Is that on, you know, something that is on the horizon, but is it being talked about front and center with Major League Baseball?
A work stoppage looms over everything, yeah. Yeah, it does. I mean, everything kind of comes through that lens of some acrimony between the two sides, the union and the teams. We'll see how much that filters into here. It's hard to imagine that it won't be the elephant in the room that everyone kind of walks around, but we know is there.
Derek, thanks so much for your coverage in San Diego. We'll be reading you in the Post-Dispatch, and we'll catch up soon. Thanks.
Sounds good, Dan. Looking forward to it. Thanks.